We'll try again. We'll get through this Mishnah. Last week we went through the first readings. And now we have at least two jobs left. First of all, we have to go maybe certain out of the 10 points or 11 points, we have about 30 that we have to go out, right? And then if we can get the general overview to help. We'll start with some particular comparisons of the different groups. Particular ones that need some additional explanation before, as individuals, before we see them as a whole picture. In the first group of five, the ones that weren't so popular, the Mishnah wasn't giving us such nice things about them. So we discussed last time, I think in particular, we went into Mar Babosa, Mar Gerima. We went to the worms last week. So let's just get a few protim on the rest on the first list. Mar Benachosim, Mar Bedaigu. So the Beninu, the obvious understanding of Mar Benachosim, Mar Bedaigu, that the, I think we spoke a little bit, we started last week, that every kli, every item a person has, every neches has a value, has productive value also. And the Mishnah is not telling you shouldn't have nechosim. The Mishnah is telling us that the rebuy of nechosim has particular negative value, which you have to watch out for. What's that? Every kli has with it a function of daya in it. Every kli that you have, every neches that a person has, takes a certain amount of attention, of mind power, of brain power, of heart power, of involvement, even when things are going right. When things are going wrong, any kli has the capability of overtaking the person. I mean cars in particular. A person could go across town to get a new pen. He needs a pen. There's a pen. There's a whole big person with the whole world. Where is he going? 2 hours back and forth. He needs pen and paper. He didn't have pen and paper. He had to go to the store. How much time it took? But the whole human being was involved now with getting one pen. There's an amazing thing that you can be misbrainy in any littlest item in the world. The littlest item in the world has enough in it to fulfill at least one life and usually many lives. Get many people involved. Their whole life goes around creating and servicing this particular item. So one of the assertions of Chazal, that every to be a good shoemaker, a person has to be a shoemaker. All he got together was a shoe, but he has to be involved, totally involved, meaning having his full, that area of life, that area of involvement, has to be totally a shoemaker. If he wants to be a part-time shoemaker and a part-time dressmaker, so the chances are he's not going to do the job right. You need a whole person, at least this part of his business activities, but also full-time, all what did he get, what does he do? Of all of the needs of an individual, he altogether gets up to shoes. And now for socks, he needs somebody else. Right. So then you go to belts, such as clothes. Now for food, other people. For every item that a person has, just in the producing of it, can overtake a person for his whole life. Beyond that, if you go into a lot of the things, the chokhmah that's involved in a pocket pen, There's a lot of chokhmah that we need. Let's go back to Adam Rishon. Okay. And now we say Adam Rishon created Prakhat Per. At that state of affairs, to get from Adam Rishon to Prakhat Per, then we can start hearing how much chokhmah is involved to create a Prakhat Per. However, since there's a process, a step-by-step process of everything that we have, so each person is involved in that addition from what was last time. And that itself, the stages themselves, you can have a lot of little people doing little stages, and then nobody ever did necessarily anything big thing. But the Parker pen itself is a representation of a huge amount. Very, very possibly a huge amount. That's just a little simple thing. Parker pen, Sechakol, what is it? And now you go into the Bri, and you'll be even more so. But the point being that every item in this world is much more than what appears on the surface. A tape recorder, we have them sitting in Bokuita. They're here. I'm telling you not to bring them. They're here, a tape recorder here. What do you need to learn to use a tape recorder? Second grader, first grader can do it. I don't know exactly at what the point. Nursery, what do you need to create a tape recorder? Probably hundreds of people spent tens of years in the processes of developing the thing. So we forget about it because we only work on the practical level. You have to pay this amount of money, take the 7 minutes to read the instructions, learn how to work the buttons, and it's over. Right? As far as I'm concerned, I have this item. But it's not totally sold. It means the item itself has within it all of that that makes it up. And when you buy it, that's all you have some relationship to. This is just to give us to open our ears to understand that things that we take for granted are really much, much more complicated than, even on so far we only talked on the technical level, on a certain surface, chachma level, than what appears on the surface. When do we come in contact with the complexity of a tape recorder? When it breaks down. When we push the buttons the way it says instructions and it doesn't work. Then all of a sudden we find out, well, what do you mean? It has five buttons, I pushed all five of them, and it didn't work. I changed the batteries. Right. Got a new cassette. Didn't work. So we have a way of avoiding the issue also. Pick up the telephone, call Mr. Fix-It Man for tape recorders, and just like we bought it, so we pay a price, and he worries about it. And now we have every new item that comes into the market, so you have a new person who spends his life fixing them besides creating them. Okay. Cars. If anybody has a car knows it. But the complexity of the thing that has in it comes to its surface when it breaks down. Then the involvement, the daiga element that's involved in it, comes to the surface when it breaks down. When you need a car, you have an important trip. You go out there and turn the key and nothing happens. Everybody owns a car, it happened and knows that. Wonderful experience. I turned the key. You mean you didn't turn on? Don't you know that when I turn the key, you go on? Does not. Why? Because it was always simplified. All that you know about this thing is just to turn the key and it goes on. But there are 75 processes that have to go. There are 75 different items in the motor that have to work properly in order for that turning of the key to actually make it go on. If it doesn't, it doesn't go on. The dag element of it not going on exists the whole time. But we can, usually during life, we can pretend it doesn't exist. And in truth, this is a positive. This is the nace of the quality of development. Chokhmah we're going tight. It works.
You're saying that the dag element is that the person subconsciously or somehow understands that there is a very complex machine here and that he's troubled by the fact that it's going to break down?
No. I mean, he's not troubled by it at all. We're talking about potential. They call it kinetic energy. Kinetic daiga. But that kinetic energy is not simply kinetic. It's not totally kinetic. But it's a value. The surface thing, as I was saying, when does it hit you? When do you feel it on the surface? When it breaks down.
Right.
Or when you're worried about it getting stolen. Or, I'm just giving one example, getting it, but there's a lot of other elements of the, or is it going to do the job when I need it the way it's supposed to? Okay. Any item that we have is in fact larger than us, in a way. In other words, in order to be sholet completely on a car, which is a relatively simple mechanism compared to some of the things that exist today, okay, you have to be a full car mechanic. To use a car, any Tom, Dick, and Harry can do it. But anybody who owns a car, all of the potential that the car mechanic knows how to deal with exists for the owner. He is the proud owner of an item that has that level of complexity. And the fact that the genius of man was able to take such complexity and make it, what do they call it? Computer language, they have a word for it, but I forget what it is. There's a usable for the public. In layman terms, he doesn't have to know how a motor works. He just put the key in and it goes. That doesn't mean the fact that he's able to, on the surface, ignore the fact that the motor is complex. It doesn't mean the complexity of the motor didn't go anywhere. I'm not talking about the fact that subconsciously he knows that there's a complex thing in his word. I'm talking about wording. Yeah. I'm talking about the fact of the reality of the item relative to the person. That, when is it going to hit him? When is it going to affect him? So it depends. Could be all kinds of different occurrences. But I'm saying is there's a positive, there's a play here, a few things. That as long as things are going well, so any particular item that we may own, if we use it properly, it'll add it up. The benefit that you can have from it, from the negative that you can have from it, you can very often, if you do things properly, come to the conclusion that it is very beneficial. And even the cost of the original expenditure, plus watching it, plus worrying about it, plus fixing it, plus all the pluses there are, still the benefit outweighs it. And hopefully those are the only ones that we buy. If we're under the influence of the neighbor or of the advertising agencies, so then we buy the ones that l'chadchila never made sense for us. Very often, when a person rightfully needs some particular item, and then he goes onto the market, and then he's exposed to salesmen, and he walks out with something that's three times as big as his real needs are. Okay. All the extra two times are going to eat him up because they're pure negatives and there's no... because he's not getting any benefit from it. So even though on the surface that's the only thing that he owns, he can live with it. It's not going to destroy a person. No.
The salesman, what his chachma is showing a person that wants to come in and buy at the very low level bicycle per se, that his life would be enhanced if he had this very expensive bicycle, you know, this 10-speed thing with the mount. Okay. Could very well be that this guy is from the woods, doesn't know anything about bicycles, read in the Sears catalog or such a thing, and wants to get one. And the salesman has a side amnesty there, otherwise he wouldn't be able to affect the sale. Could be that the person would be happier with the pleasure of riding this bicycle. So you're saying that there are two times of negativity
there could be a successful salesman who's doing you a favor. I'm talking that we're only trying to understand here that every item could be a spoon. Right? As with the two factors, you can't get away from it ever. Right? There's benefit and there's cost. And the cost is not just the price that you pay to buy. Every item has called the Daiga factor in the language of the Mishnah. Any particular item, it's very possible that the particular item, the benefit would outweigh the cost. And hopefully those are the items that we own. The Mishnah is telling you the very big chiddush though. You would think that if I have one item, and this item, it added up 7 to 3 to my benefit. So if I had 2, it would be 14 to 6. And if I had 4, it would be 21 to 9. So at least the equation would be equivalent in the ratio. But the Mishnah is telling us it doesn't work that way. Because the positive value very often goes down. And the negative value always goes up. Because 2 cups have more calling power on a person's koichus, draining power on a person's koichus than 1 cup. More than double. I can't give numbers, I don't know if that, but the Mishnah is telling us, a chiddush, that marvin nechosin, marvin daiga, that 5 items, that each one themselves would be cost-benefit ratio would be positive, But put them all together, the whole thing would change. Now, at five, which may not be considered marva particular to a particular person, what is marva defined by? Marva is defined by what real necessities are. Whenever it's within the realm of real necessities, then the total will also still add up. Bring them all together, the threes will become eights, but it'll still, the benefit, the combined benefit will make it worth it. But whenever I go beyond, when I'm marva, then we go beyond real needs, and I'm into luxury items. Whenever I'm beyond real, the real world, and I'm going to what's called marva, ribui, more than absolutely necessary, then the daiga level jumps. And this is something that the person on the surface who doesn't have, doesn't believe. A person who doesn't have, usually on the surface, natural tendency is to believe the reason why life isn't the way it, he would like it to be is because he's missing X, Y, Z. If he would have X, Y, Z, like Joe has, then life would be a lot better. So the Mishnah tells us, the Ben Yonah puts it beautifully, a person would think the following. He says, don't think like that. It's a mistake. You'd think that if you'll have Kvod Oisha, there's the Kvod element also, and the Reid Mechosa, don't think like that. How do I know? Besides the fact that it says in the Mishnah, how am I going to know? How do you get to understand it? So he says the following language: Shall Yisrael v'yagitha Ashirim v'yoyim l'loch. Just go ask the people who have it. They'll tell you. If you're going to the States, you have quite a good opportunity to make this little she'elon. Last time I was there, I didn't remember the beginning. I was involved in such a processes. They'll tell you. They'll preempt the attack and tell you how difficult it is by telling you that the real problem is it's because they only have three cars, but if they would have four cars, then it would be much better. But after they explain to you that, then they'll explain to you how difficult life may be, very difficult. And the truth, they do. They really suffer.
No question. One of these, put on your hat and a big smile. Two of these, take off your hat, you scratch your head a lot. Three of them, you pull your hair. I know.
Right? It's unbelievable. Simple mathematics. This mission is simple mathematics. There's something strange here. This will be the beginning. This gives us a good indication of where we try to get. We probably won't get there next week. But why is it that way? Usually, the simple formula should be, if it's good, one thing is good, then two is better, three is it's not better. It's basically a good thing.
That's the Goyish world. Yeah. So the more possessions, the more,
you know. Right, so where's the formula go wrong? What is the klal that we're going to be looking for is to understand what the Mishnah does. And the first half of the Mishnah, especially as far as where does the formula go wrong, basically? What's the mistake? Why does a person who doesn't have the tendency to think that it's a falsehood? If you ask the ones who have, and they know it. They'll tell you something. It's not true. There seems to be a different element which the Mishnah is not dealing with, which means the Kvod Oisha Yoreid Mechosa, that there's a certain aura goes out from certain items to those who don't have it. There's an excitement, it spikes off the dimyon, the imagination that it solves all of life's problems. The reason why a person's having like this here, housewives. This is like a serious, serious example. The general Israeli housewife has much less help, both in machinery and in Ezrachutz, the equivalent level housewife in the States, generally speaking. It's not always the case, but they're very often the case. We would therefore assume, that the Israeli housewife is totally overburdened by homework and suffers terribly from it, and the equivalent American housewife has relatively all the advantages will be living an easy shoe. I had the opportunity last time in the States to listen to one woman explain to the other how really difficult she has terrible hold keeping track of her hozeret, and when the babysitter comes, and then the workmen are there. It's like she has really a very hard life. And then she explains her necessities of what it is, all these different mechanical and other avodim. Avodim is really part of the next part. That she has this sister, and it's a terrible hole. And I prompted her on a little bit more to see how far it goes. It goes very far. They really suffer. It's really chumas. It's all in this Mishnah. This Mishnah thing is marvin chosin. On the surface, it seems like the more you have, the more. And it should be right, because each individual thing will get it as tremendous benefit out of it. And really, a dishwasher should really make life easier. And same thing, the microwave, you can do this, like that. And many of them do if you take them individual. But there's something when the whole thing gets out of hand somehow, then the mathematics changes.
This Hiddish about the fact that each one of these things, it has its little packaged potential horror that you don't see, and then when it either breaks down or gets lost or it doesn't show up on time, whatever the thing is, it makes you go just a little bit crazy, but gets geometric or logarithmic when three of them happens. That particular point, we're going to discuss what makes it go so nice when it all happens together?
Yeah, that's what we're going to try. That will be the common denominator when we have the if we can find that, then we can find the secret of the mission. All right. The next three, the Benjamin says a point which seems.
Make the point is that somewhere along the line, the human being comes to the point where he doesn't possess the possessions, but the possessions possess him. And it's at that point.
That's for sure. The question is how did it happen? Right? Evid Kim Yimloch, that's one of the.
When did you lose it? Why am I screaming and pounding now?
I bought it, and I did well, I paid money.
I was just listening to music.
How did it take over? Where did I go wrong? How come, in theory, each thing in itself, I look at this, is it good? If I didn't have it, and I had to go buy it now, would I buy it? Yep, sure. All right. But then all of a sudden, you're torn. What happened? That's the problem. The next Mishnah, the next part of the Mishnah, we'll take the Vinyana first. He has three, he packages them, the next three as a group, and he has one basic point that he says on all three of them. That's very, very interesting. It seems to be a slightly different subject. When we get it all together, it may relate. But first, let's take it as an individual point. The Marv Avodim, Marv Gezel, Marv Shochas, Marv Zima, Marv Noshim, Marv Shofim. And the Bnei Yehuda points out that all three of these things are not your problem, you would think. I have Avodim. Okay. You want to tell me that the Avodim, that we spoke last time, why the Marv turned into it. But the gezel that comes out from Avodim. I don't steal. I didn't steal. So if Avodim, don't worry about it. So if there's a problem because there's some gezel around, if I'll catch him, I'll punish him. And if he comes in, the neighbor comes and he complains, I'll try to do something about it. So what's the other two we heard? Marv Avodim tell you, not good for you. Marbury. But Marba Avodin, Marba gets, so speak to the Avodin. What do you want from me? Marba Shvacha is Marba Zim. We know what Shvachas are. I mean, the potential of the negative aspect of the Ribuy of Shvachas. I didn't really know. I kept them in separate quarters. I keep my family away from them. They do their job. And what they do on their private life, well, they don't offer me. The same thing throughout the Mishnah. These three. So then Yonah says, and this is what gives us maybe a different angle for the connection, that when a person owns something and it has negative potential in it, the fact that he owns it, even if he was totally uninvolved, he cannot disconnect himself from that potential or the actualization of what comes out of that. All three, this package, he says, these are the things, these are negative things that come from somebody on the outside, but are not outside since you are the proud owner. You want to have a vodin? No problem. Because until now, your whole world, the world that you existed, which was, let's say, the family, you, your wife, your children, was pure. Didn't have any guests with it. So you're a pure household, no guests. You bought a vodin, and the vodin do their thing. And now it's gezel. So you can't say your household is pure, and in the over there in the servants' quarters there's problems with gezel. Your household is no longer pure. In your household there is now gezel. Besides the pacha that maybe will internalize second stage problem, but that's not the point of the Mishnah. The fact that it may rub off wrong in a kid or something somewhere along the line. That's not the point of the mission. The point of the mission is that you own it. You want to just take the benefit out of it and say, well, the negative part has nothing to do with me. No. If it exists as part of the package of what you take, it's the goal package. Whether you like it or you don't. Whether you realize it or you don't. Whatever exists within you, is part of your existence. We usually see ourselves only as a body. The Maral explains in many places that we have three parts. One we don't see because it's too spiritual, and the third one we don't see because it's too physical. The three parts are soul, body, and ownership, what we own, our moment. The soul we don't see because it's too ruchni, and the moment, the things that we own, they're gashmi, meaning that they're nifrit for me. So I see them as something separate. Oh, do I know, I understand that I carry responsibilities of Zanover. And then we can discuss whether halakhically, if my Eved steals, does the person who can prove that my Eved stole from him have a claim on me or not? First of all, halakhically, secondly, morally. But I don't find, if I don't see it as part of me, I don't see his part, but there's something outside of him. I haven't had it. The reason why it works for me and not for him is because I own him, not him. But the reason why he steals is not me, I'm stealing. The Eved steals because he's in there. You don't have to do it. The Mishnah is explaining to us the reason why it does relate back is because moment is not a separate existence, it's an extension of existence. This is, if you want, one of the keys to open up the proper understanding to Bava Kamma, to the whole parsha of Mazikin. If you just read, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, just the Mishnah says, the person has a shore, and the shore damaged. Right? So you tell me, I'm responsible for my shore, so I should pay. So I'm responsible for the damages of the Shur HaMazik, that I understand. That's not what the mission says. The wording of the mission is that the Mazik has to pay. In the whole Gemara, it's the whole Shas. The owner is called the Mazik. You are the person who did damage. What type of damage did you do? Did you do direct physical damage with your hand? Did you punch him in the nose? No, you didn't punch him in the nose. What did you do? You did Momen HaMazik. But you're called the Mazik, qualified as Momen HaMazik. That's the same concept that we have here. Your moment is not something outside of you. It's not your hand. It's another level. It's an extension. But the extension, the moment, relates directly back to you. And the responsibility is not the responsibility of an insurance company. I took upon myself the responsibility of something outside of me. But it's an internal responsibility. This person is responsible for his body, and the person is responsible for his soul, and the person is responsible for the extensions of him, which is called his mama. So the Chiddush of the Bnei Yonah says here, which seems to be a different point, a different direction than the soap we were talking about until now, but we'll see maybe one day how they're related, that this mission is telling us negative aspects that are beyond our immediate control and responsibility affect us. We suffer from this. Something that we have to know that do relate to us. Even though we didn't do it. It's mashma from the beginning that the reason is not even because that it wasn't moicha. And somebody lives in it with a neighbor, and the neighbor doesn't have aveira. And if you would have been moicha, the neighbor would not have done the aveira. He would have given toichocha, would have saved. The person carries responsibility. That's a different point. It seems that it's not because he could have stopped it. Could be he can't stop it. If you have one avid, maybe you can make sure that his name is Eliezer and your name is Avram, things will work out well. But if you have lots of avodim, marbe avodim, marbe gezel, you're in trouble. It's very possible that you say, what can I do? That's the way avodim are. The Mishnah is telling us that that's right. And we're not even discussing whether therefore you're allowed to have avodim or not. But know the reality. What you've done is accepted the existence of Gezel within your household, within your existence. You have Gezel within your existence. It's not something outside. It's not over there. But then, it's yours.
So it's a similarity. Man has boundaries which are his, which are outside his conscious notion of his limitations. They exist. They just have potential. All of a sudden, you find out about them.
Now, here we hear more. It's not just simple potential. It's not just the potential, was just to give us a little bit more understanding. It's not really potential. The Dag element existed all the time. It wasn't potential. It was purport. The potential was only as far as the realization goes. Mm-hmm. It didn't hit you in the head always to the surface. But it was there the whole time. It was there the whole time. Okay. Just to sum on a positive note. The corresponding to Marva Bosa and Marva Rino, which we spoke about last week, so the other half of the Mishnah starts with Marva Toyev Marva Chaim. What's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? We discussed last week, like the Rishonim explained, there's a problem here. The Chiddush of a lot of things. Marva Toyev, Marva Shlius, Marva Toyev, Marva Chochma, like the first one. Marva Toyev, Marva Emes. Sounds good. Marva Torah could be Marva quite a bit. Marva Torah, of everything we pull out of the hat, the mission says Marva Chaim. So, at this today, for today, maybe we'll come back and answer this in a further way also. But there's a very important point that the Bnei Yonah makes on this. The Bnei Yonah explains that the mission is telling us a very big Chiddush. Because this is negative teva. It's negative teva. The Chiddush is something that's Legamri can negate the teva here. The teva is that, so we'll say it in his words. Just like we explained, he says, it goes back on the first two, both the Marva Bosa and the Marva Nechos and Marva Daiga, which together tell us that Tainuk are all Tainugim, Ribuyim and Tainugim, have a potential of shortening a person's lifespan, shortening the value of life. Torah. Daigas ha Torah, apki hi daigas gdoilo lemeivin. Kashi yakshot behalacha adjima dove dibur alekhonot, en yichoyros le daigas hi lasa iz loyreo. The person doesn't understand that he has to check out the way he's relating to Torah. If Torah is only a positive experience, he only goes to places where he gets it, either from people or from Sfora on a silver platter, then it's nice, very nice, but he's limited in his relationship to Torah. The real relationship with Torah, the person wants to be machkin in Torah, wants to have a chilek in Torah, that doesn't come easy. There's no handouts. There's yigiyas at Torah, which is an absolute requirement. What it says in Megillah, yigata, mitzosa, taimin. Lo yigata, mitzosa, altaim. Somebody says, I wasn't yigiyas, somebody handed it to me in a silver platter. Don't believe him. He only thinks he has, he doesn't have. Can't have. The process of Limud HaTorah is required, so long as we're in Olam HaZeh, to require tremendous effort, tremendous yigiyah. And here he adds more. Daiga. Do I learn right pshat? So sometimes we sit and think, I try my best, I didn't learn right pshat. Well, no, I'm not the Yashir, I don't have to pass off the whole world. I try my best, I understood it. Maybe yeah, maybe no. Maybe this is pshat, maybe forget this pshat. That's nice, but that's not Torah. That's not the real Torah. The real Torah, in the end of the day, whether you actually get the right pshat or not, that's another issue. But the approach has to be, to be serious nefesh, I gotta know whether it's right. It's not, if it glitters, that's not good enough. I have to know if it's empty. If knows this is really what the Torah is trying to tell me. Did I understand it properly? Did I get to the depth that I'm capable of getting? Maybe I'm just playing around on the surface. So there's a tremendous daiga element involved. There's a tremendous yogurin element involved. Yogurin. Now that's yogurin. This is like really getting out of hand now. Yogurin. On Torah, yogurin. Torah is a higher of no. Torah is supposed to be simple. Torah has to be anything. Torah no longer takes simple. Where the yogurin coming from? But he says, like the Russian, it's true. Not everybody. It's only a person who's entered the level of Torah called Meivu. Simple level. Chokhmah is called what I learned from the Rebbein. That doesn't have yogurin. So he may have daiga, it has daiga that I understand it properly, but doesn't have yoga. Maven is the person who's maven dover material. He takes what he was handed, and he is misbraining it so that he can develop it beyond with that was given. When he's finished with it, there's more there than when he received it. That's the second level, or basic level of learning. There are higher levels also, but that's level that's basically required. On that level, there's a yoga. Even though there's, in the end of the day, tremendous anola, but in the process, there's tremendous yoga. Tremendous yoga. Where's the yoga? Any person who was a maiden and understands what such a type of learning is will come across places that he doesn't understand. Or come across a piece of Gemara and Mishnah, a Pesach and Chumash, that he doesn't understand. And we drive him up a wall. The people stay up at night with kasha. They walk back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Wow, the kasha, bothering him. Just tearing him apart, he doesn't understand. That part of the Torah, that's called yoga. So this should be dangerous to a person's health. All of the Yigir, the yogi, the daigna that's involved in the higher levels of learning. Higher meaning just relative to the minimum. There are much higher levels. But anybody who's gotten beyond basic, will have elements of these seemingly very negative traits, very negative qualities being involved. Yoga, daigna, you're not so smart. The Ben Yonah is telling us that's the Mishnah's Chadish. That the Daiger of Nechose, where you thought that those Nechose themselves are going to give you the Simcha, and the, how do you call it, the Rey of Nechose, Yivro Yomer B'Toyu Hushnaisiv B'Ni'im. So the opposite number, the hard work, you're going there, and often that goes into trying to understand the Tosis properly, should, on the surface, be damaged to us. And the Chiddush of the Mishnah, this is even Ruchni, both in TV and truth. Any other equivalent natural dagger, if there be perhaps a little bit a scientist who suffers through trying to understand something in science, that will damage the health. Because the damage of dagger, mitzad the goof, doesn't have first names. Doesn't have any first names. Whatever tiger, the tiger itself also does it then. So why you tell is different. So this is a very, this is mind over matter in its source. A person is a neshama in a guf. We're used to thinking that the neshama has to play by the rules of the guf. And generally it does. A neshama is not limited by space, for example. Neshama's walls don't get in the way of neshama's. But they get in the way in the goof. And the neshama in the goof can't go through a wall either. Because he has to play by the rules of the world he's in. He's in the goof world now. And goofs can't go through walls. So the neshama in the goof can't go through a wall either. Meaning, there are attributes of the Ruchnis and there's attributes of Gashmis. And the neshama in the goof, generally, the neshama has to play by the rules of the goof. But that's not always the case. There are sometimes the opposite number also. And here's the first basic expression of that that you have. Higher levels, this is the Makor, this is where it starts from. The Tachlis of this strange Shidduch, the strangest of all Shidduchim. No Shatchim was even attempted such a Shidduch. The very from Tukkun Hashem from the highest of heights and dumped it into the goof, the lowest of lows. And say, go, you, this new creation called Adam, that's what it's all about. I created the whole world for that and only for that. And that's the only thing that has any real value in ultimate terms. That's the only thing the Tachlis can talk about. Well, what kind of shit is it? What does he want? The Tachlis in the end is that what we're learning here as a first inkling will in the end be in the totality. Meaning that although in this world, Boilam Hazeh, especially after Chetel and Marishim, the neshama is trapped, and it must by generally go only by the rules of the goof. With Torah, which is the neshama food, neshama energy, you can reverse the formula, and you can start encouraging the goof to play by the rules of the neshama. Torah mitzad ruchni is the chayim alei, it's the essence of life. Torah is chayim. The daiga of Torah, in goof terms, should in fact destroy the goof. The reason why it doesn't is because when you're in the Torah mode, the goof plays by the neshama's rules. She doesn't play, the neshama doesn't have to play the goof. Of course, we're talking relative. This is the first instance of the process called zikuch achronim. There are gedolim in Yisrael, have a sipurim that take up any reliable, in such a Sipur Tzaddikim book, and you'll find stories, anybody you want, because I'll take an example I heard, I didn't see it, but I heard it from a reliable source. In America, there was a separate of it. I heard about it. He was a very old man before he left us, and a very sick man, and very weak man. But when he came, for example, to Simchas Torah, he was able to dance with the Sefer Torah for 2-3 hours. People a lot younger were broken apart. What happened? He had a very weak life, but he had a very strong life. There were times, especially when involved Torah, that he was able to tell the goof, listen, goof, nice, I like you very much. But you're not the boss. Not only you're not the boss, but you're not even going to get in the way. Not only does the neshama not have to play by the goof rules, but at time, in certain places, in certain ways, you can get the goof to play by the neshama rules. And then the neshama danced and the goof went along. He saw this tremendous dancing going on. Where did he get the koichas from? Hey, where did he get the koichas from? It's a Malchus Elokim. Malchus Elokim don't have any problems with koichas. Oh, where's the goof get the koichas from? From the Nesham. Because the Nesham is a very close friend of that goof. And that goof was so closely related to the Nesham, especially in times of entire involvement. Simply started another such broken of the heights of a building that they were able to reach. They're able to be roi lomom baramazeh, meaning this capability of tying the gnisham, the goof, to play by neshama rules comes to the surface. There's another time when you can see this even by simple people. And that is in the later stages of life, very often times of sickness. You can see amazing demonstrations of mind over matter, where the doctors only know matter. They can tell you, even that they don't know. Whatever they know about it, they can tell you these are the chances, these are the expectations, this is what's supposed to happen. And very often you can find very simple people that tell the doctors, nice, it's good. It's good for the books. But I don't read those books. I do things different. I have no intentions of doing things. That's the path that's supposed to go. I have a different path. Watch it. So the person has a strong enough will to live, to understand the value of life, even difficult life, even very handicapped life, a painful life. The person has a real understanding of the value of life, which is an indication that they lived the life they had value to it. They won't go quite the way the doctor said. What's going to happen at the end? It could be everybody dies sometime. That's not the point. Yeah. But you can see sometimes famous person comes totally out of thing, and even if not, you can see that the process was much much more positive and beneficial to the person involved than what the doctors know about. So where does that come from? This is another opportunity. At the end of life, the Baruch Shalom gives a person, it's like Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, it's not Shabbos. But, for example, it's enough close to Shabbos, on Thursday afternoon you can't be recovered from Shabbos. Friday afternoon you can. And you can make place of Shabbos. That's a Zman that's in the middle. It's not quite cold, it's not Shabbos yet. And a person can get already a certain amount of ore from the Shabbos, you can bring it in early, and that's why you can be in Kabbalah Shabbos, even the Halacha. At the end of life, a person is also at the end of going to his Shabbos. The person has his Sheshes Yom Tassim Achdecha, he has his lifespan, and then there comes the Shabbos. A person, especially a person whose lifespan is heading him generally in the direction of El Nabo, he really may have to spend a couple of days in the Benjamin's laundry to take care of some problems. So he has a big laundry upstairs called the Hanum. He takes care of problems. The person has some dirt that needs to be better. So there are processes that the Benjamin has. A person can be a Ben Olam Haba, that doesn't mean that he's a total tzad. Cool, you saw yourself that if I'm happy, and most people, most from even, are b'nei olam haba. And when, as b'nei olam haba, when they enter the lighter stages of life, there's a preview, koichas come in, and all of a sudden you see this regular person, just like anybody else, all of a sudden he's telling the doctors where to go, explaining to them that's not the way it's going to happen. He has absolutely no intentions of going that way. And he goes through the process of whatever it is, and he does tremendously, totally outside the realm of whatever the doctor's intention. Where they come from. There's another demonstration of the capability of the neshama to help go to run by its rules. The will of life is a right that every individual has, responsibility and a right. It's a koyach that can limit natural process, or even eliminate it in a certain degree. Certainly limit the natural process, and it's all TV, something that's not natural. But it is natural, why? Because we're not just organisms. We're not just biology, we're not just medicine. We are insurance. We are insurance. Every single one. And we can use them. Not always can we tell the goof where to go. We don't always have that. But here's the two examples. Well, a primary example, which is the mikor of this koyach, is that the neshama is Torah, is the food of the neshama, it's the life force of the neshama. And when a person's in Torah mode, then the goof plays by the neshama rules. And the neshama rules are that Torah is life. Goof rules are that Torah is yogan, should have been shortened in life. That's what the Bahamian explains to us, that even though naturally, and that's true. We accept that. That's a fact. That's a reality. Has an opposite effect. Because the greater the yoga that a person's involved, the greater level of Or HaTorah he's receiving in his Torah. Torah is not just a mitzvah. Near mitzvah Torah, or every mitzvah is a mitzvah. But it's like a candle. A candle is a light that has an aura to it. But Torah is the source of light itself. When you learn Torah, you're attached to the Makor. You're plugged into the original source. And then you get the whole shebang, the whole input of energy, we'll call it in Brooklyn Institute terms. That can overcome. And certainly in this process, we're talking about over here, is that the dagger that comes from the process itself, on the surface it should destroy the heart and kidneys, etc. But because it itself is a reason why there's more or it's being brought down in the same limiter, so it's going to have an opposite effect, even in physical factor terms. You're going to have better life, you're going to have a healthier group. It's well known, it says by David HaMelech and many other people in Shas, it's explained that when a person is learning Shas Liman HaTorah, the Malach HaMelech says Mar Shnitim. So at times he's given Rishus to make all kinds of tactics to disturb the person who has to go so that he should stop learning. But he can't be just taken even though he's learning, there's no such thing. He can't go in. That's Chayim. Moks can't enter the realm of Chayim. May be able to do something that the realm of Chaim shouldn't be functioning at that point. David HaMelech knew that he was going to go on Shabbos. So on Shabbos he learns. Straight to the Shabbos, yeah. And the first three Shabbos in the Malach HaMelech try to get him to go. Malach, learning time, can't get in. No entry, there's a big sign outside. No entry for the Malach HaMelech. Tell you some shtick over there and for a moment. Not David HaMelech to stop. Did his job. No, that's his job. I guess he knows how to do it well. Right? But the whole of him, the story that we know, is that Torah, that's a tivoy, is al tivi. Torah tivoy doesn't, it's not, is, and is that, I mean, the mice, it's natural. But based on the physical world, it's a natural occurrence. Opposite occurrence. That Torah itself, even with it should have been causing damage. Marvet Torah, Marvet Chayim. That's the finish of this mission. Yiras Hashem, Tuisit Yom, Shnois Hashem, Tuxar, Abin's Posek in Mishnah. Yiras Hashem. This is an extension of Torah. Veishas Chochma Yiras Hashem. We learned many times, we spoke about it, Posek. The tachlis of Matan Torah was to consider the higher form of Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem, Panecham, Lufus, Tov. He started with Torah, ends with year. He brings the pasuk to the year. Year is also fear. It's also pachad. It's also something that naturally should be life shortening. So Mishnah would the Beni Yehuda brings this pasuk to teach us. It's pasuk in Mishnah. Year is Hashem, which naturally should shorten my Torah. Now he doesn't need Ushnoi Chayim. Here is Taisis Yomim. Yes, Hashem, not only does it not shorten life, it adds life. Vishnois Vishoyim, that they don't suffer the problems of having to control themselves and worry all the time, maybe on the right, the left, up, down, on the side, maybe they're doing something wrong. Tiksar. The mice, it doesn't work out. Tiksar. the surface process of being free from all this old responsibility, the Chayyur should extend their life. And both the colors are on the choice. So, we should stop here. We only have a few minutes left. There is nothing in this Mishnah that we can just throw out. It's not that type of a Mishnah. I mean, no Mishnah is, but here it's on the surface. You can just, on the surface, you can see that. This is an action-packed Mishnah, a very full Mishnah. So I'm going to stop here. We didn't get through all of the protein. Yes, with some of the main ones next week. But we had a meeting session. We will try to finish off some of the protein that left and see if we can get some cloud out of the Mishnah. See what the Mishnah is.